I don't know what your police captain told you about me, but I'm a different breed of
podcast.
I'm from the streets, and I'm the last
podcast.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the last podcast. As always, my name is Sean Penalver. Last time with us, we had Mad Whitaker, and this time we have with us
Nathaniel Potts Wells.
Nathaniel Potts Wells. Nathaniel, what was the last show you did?
Last show I did, last night I did the Comics You Should Know by the Riot at Rudyard's here in Houston, Texas.
How'd that go?
It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was my first time working with that group. You know, they started since I left. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed it. They put on a good show.
Yeah, Rudyard's had some really good shows.
Yeah.
They've been going for quite a while now.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw, like you were surprised to see a comic and you were like, oh my gosh, this person's here?
Well, there was... So I live in Louisville, Kentucky right now, and a brand new club just opened up down there.
Uh-huh.
So there was definitely, like, looking at the lineup and then being like, yeah, this seems like who they would get. But then, actually, this weekend they had Maria Bamford, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then I got booked out of town. So
man.
I won't be able to catch it.
When was the last celebrity you met? Or who was the last celebrity?
I don't think I've met many in a while, you know, pandemic stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't see too many people too often, but where were we? I was in Minneapolis 3 weeks ago, and I believe there was an NFL player that we saw at Mall of America. I did not recognize them, but one of the people I was with swears it was them. I cannot remember their name.
Yeah, dude, I don't watch sports, so it's like every time there's like a famous sports celebrity like nearby, like you can see people be like, oh man, that's blah, blah, blah. It's like, I would never know. I could be sitting right next to them and just be like, this is a normal person, you know, like.
Well, they probably look forward to that.
To those moments, yeah, I agree. As a small, like, I guess, kind of underground celebrity myself, like, I can't imagine, like, I kind of don't want to reach that point of, like, everywhere you go, you're recognized and, like, oh my gosh, take a photo with me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I don't think notoriety is something that I would do well with.
Yeah.
I feel like I would just be burnt out by it, like, after a very short amount of time. Like,
yeah.
If two people came up to me in a day, I'd be exhausted.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, socially, you're just like, I just want to be a normal person. Yeah, I'm influential. That's the only thing that I really desire from a celebrity ship would be the influence that you have universally. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. The influence that you choose, not just when somebody bombards you.
Yeah.
With, like, wanting to attention from you or influence from you without, you know, you being able to dictate it yourself. Or not so much dictate, but curate it yourself.
Yeah.
But that's why, honestly, I think of, I've thought about this before and stuff with how stressful it gets me. And so anytime I, like, meet anybody that is, you know, in my terms, famous or influential or maybe even in the rest of the world's eyes, like, I do not approach them. I just give them, usually it's like I make eye contact and just give them the nod.
Yeah.
The nod, and you can see it in their face. Most of the time they're just like, thanks.
Yeah.
I understand you're saying that you like me or appreciate me, and I appreciate that you didn't waste my time.
It's less objectification.
Yeah.
It's like you're treating them like a normal person of just like, oh, hey, what's up, man? Like, you know, rather than like, oh, wow, I gotta worship you for a second, you know, or something like that. Or like, I want something from you, you know. It's just, hey, what's up? Glad that you exist, you know.
Yeah, to just, I don't know. It also just seems so weird to me that we as a culture just decide that we're allowed to demand time from people and effort from them at any given moment just because we see them or recognize them.
Yeah.
Like, that's so wild to me. Like, at what point are you like, maybe they just wanted to have a quiet hot dog today. Like, just let them eat their hot dog.
Yeah. When was the last time you felt you really influenced someone?
Well, over the past couple years, I've gotten really back into, like, Dungeons & Dragons and
dude, hell yeah.
tabletop role-playing games, and so I've gotten a lot of friends into it, and they're, like, really into it, too, now. So I definitely feel like I influenced them into getting into that hobby real hard.
What's your character?
I have multiple, but my favorite one right now is in a D&D game that a core group of friends, we play in person again now. And it's a gnome bard.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm a gnome ranger.
Oh,
on my main, yeah.
Awesome. what are you playing? Dungeons and Dragons or another?
Yeah, 5e.
5e, yeah, same.
I haven't played in a long time though. Like my main group, once I started doing like weekly shows, my group was on Fridays, and so it's like all the shows are on Fridays and Saturdays.
Yeah.
It's like I can't do it anymore, which sucks. Because I miss that. The Dungeons and Dragons is just so much fun. You literally just make up things and then roll to see what you can do and what not to. You know, like.
Yeah, I love these games because it's a great, like, imaginary, like, exercise. So you're just getting to use your imagination, which is obviously fun. But also the way that I use my imagination is I like rule sets. Because I use those rules to kickstart my imagination. So if I see, like, you know, you can do this or that with these skills in a role-playing game, then I can actually have fun. Like, I'm like, well, I'll use those skills in this interesting way because I know the boundaries, and so I know where to bend them and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like most arts, you know, they say you learn the rules so that you can break them.
Yeah.
You know, like with photography, you always keep, you know, the main focus in one of the quadrants, right, of the photo. But, you know, the best photographers in the world don't do that. But if you look at their come up, they always did that.
That's kind of like what makes it fun, because, like, I mean, imagine there were no limits, right? Then
if it's no limits, then it's just everybody telling a really poorly written novel to each other.
It's just anyone doing anything. But then once you, like, have a rules or a background, you're still doing the anything and everything. It's just, now you're going beyond, you know?
We've all chosen the same playground is really what it is that we're going to play in.
Yeah.
As opposed to being like, yeah, you guys want to play at the playground, and you all showed up at different playgrounds.
Yeah. And then even, like, choosing the option to not play on the playground, like, still just sit at the playground, use your imagination or something like that. It's going beyond that.
Yeah.
You got any questions?
Yeah, when did you start doing this podcast?
This one, I started, I want to say, like, either a year or maybe 2 years now ago. Sound and Silence started much longer before that. I did 3 pilot episodes, and then I just took a break for a while. And then once the other ideas came up and came to be, and that I was doing a little more successfully with my artist career and everything, I came up with the idea. It was like, okay, let's do a podcast where I'm paying my guests. We're doing a couple hours where it's like I'm paying you for your time and everything. How can I best give back to my community? You know, like, how can I spread the wealth and success to others? And then, like, make, because I want to see creatives being creative, you know? And so it's like, how do I best celebrate that? And so then I brought back these podcasts, and when I have the funds, that's when I, like, invite people on. So I haven't done one in a couple months. I'm finally bringing it back next week. I'll be releasing Cody Myers' episode, because I filmed a bunch in April when I went out to Austin, And then I just kind of like stopped posting like for a couple months. But I finally edited all the episodes. They'll be coming out, dropping Sunday. So I'm glad to be back. And then I had you coming up. So it's just like, oh, everything's working out again. So I'm really excited. And then I'm hoping to start a show here. I just put the pitch together and everything like a couple days ago. So I'm going to pitch it to Benji and see what he thinks. But I think it's going to go down well. And then I'll have even more people to like start interviewing. And then I think if I do get a weekly show here, I will film episodes before the show. And so then I can literally go like week to week to week. So I'm super stoked for that.
Well, if you're comfortable with me sliding the next question into that, what is this show, if you're willing to pitch it here on the recording?
Okay, yeah. I guess this will be the first announcement. So my idea is called the Hoota Thunk Funk House. Hoota Thunk is my music artist name.
Okay.
And so this would be a variety show where I get four selections of whatever, anything. Like, literally, I want variety. I want music, comedy, improv, lectures. Like, if you have something that you want to perform for 20 minutes, I want you on stage doing that. Like, this is your time to shine, right? And so I'm going to have a counter in the background. You get 20 minutes. The countdown starts. You know, you go, you do your thing. You can do whatever you want. At that cutoff, audience applauses, you know, and we go to the next person. It'll be $10 per person per show. And then I'll take a small cut of that just for hosting the show. And then we're splitting the rest with the performers. And then one lucky audience member will also get a part of the cut.
Oh, interesting. Is it, how are you going to go about that? Some kind of like a lottery ticket system?
Yeah, no, not even a lottery, because there's lottery laws. And so you need a lottery license to do that.
Okay.
And so it's kind of a, you're buying a ticket for the show, and then there'd be like a wheel, like a kind of, not a raffle wheel, but like, you know, a roulette wheel.
Yeah, right.
And then you're entering into that when you buy a ticket. And then essentially, like, whoever wins will be an unofficial performer.
Gotcha.
You get what I mean? And I think that will...
So you just have like the names of the people that bought them, or is it just going to be like their ticket number?
The names. I'll put them on. There's like a wheel of names thing that Google has that you basically just type in anything you want, and it's a roulette wheel.
Gotcha.
And so super simple, you know?
Yeah.
And then that'll be that premise. And because one of my favorite shows that was happening in Houston for like a year was called Carol, Where Are You? And
oh, yeah, that was one of those secret hidden shows, right?
Yeah. And I got to perform in those a couple of times, and that was what I did my first stand-up in, was the Carol, Where Are You show.
Oh, wow.
And it, literally just the variety, and also the, you having to find the show, and then it being in a different spot every month, was just so amazing. And like, I want to give that back to the people, of like, let's bring that variety back. And so it's kind of like an open mic, just more... hosted, you know, more well put together, and then we're also paying, we're making sure these artists get paid. Yeah. And so I think both the fact that we're paying the artists will make more artists want to come and be there and not cancel out, you know, and
It
also make the audience want to be there, because A, the performer's getting paid, and B, someone in the audience is going to get paid as well.
Yeah.
You know, so that's incentive, and I think it's going to be a hit. Or at least I hope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it sounds great. I love variety shows. I like even open mics. I like variety open mics.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, stand-ups ruin them. They ruin them. They always make it about them. They chase away the crowds when it comes to open mics, because there's no curation.
Mm-hmm.
But with curation, a variety show is... perfect.
I agree.
Because you're gonna get a little bit of anything.
A little bit of anything and everything. And every week it'll be something different. And I think that's what people are kind of looking for.
Yeah.
You know? And I've been, for years, it's like I've been just trying to think of a show. Like, I really wanted to do a show. And I was pitching some ideas to Benji the other night, the runner of Comedy Sports here in Houston. And it was kind of more of an improv troupe idea that I had, where every minute we add another person on stage until it becomes just the shit show. and it's a mono scene. But then I was like, that's just kind of a troupe. Like, I really need an idea. And then it just hit me. It's like, just make a show where you can put those people in it. Like, make a variety show. And so I think what I'm going to do is one stand-up, one improv performance, one music performance, and then one various random whatever. And I think that would be a perfect selection for a night of just an hour and a half mm-hmm. of fun. For $10?
Yeah.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah, that's a great show. Yeah. You heard it from me, everybody. Go to this show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And then also, from being in the performance scene for a decade now, mm-hmm. like, I think what I'm also going to do is make it a requirement that to be in the show, you have to share the flyers. Like, I have to see it on either your social media or in a public place. Like, if you don't have social media, come get a flyer, put it up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way, again, you're helping other people get paid. You're helping yourself get paid more, because the more people that come, that means that those ticket prices are going back to your pocket.
Right.
You know? And so, again, like, I'm super excited about this idea. And I hope it goes well. And I also hope that it's legal. Because, again, with lottery laws, like, I think that by being performers, that gets through the loophole. But I'm still going to have to double check on everything within that.
I mean, yeah, obviously double check that. But if you just want to solidify it, like, they have to come up on stage to get it.
And do a performance. Shit.
They could do a performance. Or, honestly, if you just bring them up and ask them one question, boom, they just performed in front
perfect.
Of the crowd.
Oh, my God, that's so perfect. Dude, good idea. Incredible. See, that's why I love, like, these ideas and these artists. And, like, you just, like, you need other perspective from other people. And then these things build and expand. And I think we're going to start in here, in this room. Because I think, it's going to start small. But, like, again, judging from just the idea and the concept,
yeah.
I think it'll get bigger.
Yeah, I think that's going to have legs. Like, and I think it'll probably be something that grows faster than most, like, music or comedy shows.
I think so, too.
It being variety, because I feel like because then you're giving yourself a diversity of
yeah.
audience members, too, because these are people that either want diversity or they want their single thing, but they're willing, you know, that person wants to see a certain music. This person wants to see poetry. Mm-hmm. This person wants to see storytelling. Like, you know, and by doing that, if somehow that builds a better crowd, in my opinion.
Yeah, an atmosphere.
Because, like, everybody's coming in knowing, like, we're different, but we're cool being yeah. around each other.
Yes.
And that's the kind of comfort that like, people will continue to come back
to. I agree.
To.
It's that collision of worlds that's, like, not too out of your atmosphere, that it's just like, okay, we're here to expect something different every week,
yeah.
and you never know what you're going to get,
mm-hmm.
but whatever it is, you're here for entertainment, and you know you're going to be entertained. And then I also am going to make a requirement that you have to, if you're performing, you have to watch the show. You have to be there. Can't be outside in the hallway talking with your friends and stuff, blah, blah, blah. We're here for support. I think it's going to go great. And then if it blows up in this room, I think Benji will let me move it to the main stage. And then if that blows up, then I think I'll also talk to Andrew at Secret Group and do 2 days a week even.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'd be big.
I'm really hoping that this works out well, because, again, like, I think that's great for both the artists and the community, and that's what I'm kind of saving up for. And then I have even bigger plans after that, like a whole community center of things just based around that, where anyone can go 24/7 and be creative and do things. And so we'll see where it goes.
So, I mean, I know that you love pretty much any form of art.
Like, just about,
ever
yeah.
since when I first met you years ago, you know, you were doing stand-up, you had, like, an art journal that you published online, you know, now you're doing the podcast and things, you're about to put on a show. Like, why did it multiple forms of art, like, bring you out to performing? Does that make sense? I don't know if that question makes sense. Because we all, like, you can love the arts and different things, but why do it yourself? Why be a performer?
Okay.
Especially in the idea of doing multiple forms.
Yeah, so again, I touched on this a little bit earlier. It's what has always driven me. And now now that I'm to the point where it's like kind of working and I understand it more, I have a better way to reflect that answer. I have always been driven to where it's like, I only want to be as successful to where I can put that success, I can redistribute that wealth and success mm-hmm. to my community. And so it's like, if I'm doing all of these outlets and I somehow get famous or celebrity status, then I could do that for the people I love around me.
Yeah.
You know? And now that I'm like, I'm at the cusp of that level, I think. Because, I mean, like, my music is being played worldwide. I'm getting royalties, you know? Like, last year, my music was played in 135 countries on Spotify alone out of 165 countries. And so that's worldwide. And so, like, and if that's Spotify alone, then literally, like, all the other platforms that I'm on, because it's free or not. Like, I'm not in this to, again, make money. I'm in this to, like, make money for everyone else. Like, I only want enough money to give back. And so by doing all of these projects, and we'll get into this more on the next podcast, I have been planting seeds of quantum influence.
Hmm.
And so that influence has been growing and expanding over time. And if we continue to feed into it, then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then I can do more and more and more. And then I can pass that down for generations.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the goal behind that. And but to step back a little, Drawbook started as basically kind of a sociology project to get me out and meeting people, but also to make art exist, like to get people who don't normally make art and everything to create art. And then also the people that I met that were artists to just create more art, to just get more confident. It's like, here, take this book, draw anything. Just be creative. And I think that inspiration has, like, touched people because it's like, well, I never really considered that, like, I can be an artist as well.
Mm.
And that's what I've been trying to, I guess, prove to anyone and everything, that, like, you are an artist. You are a celebrity as long as you're being celebrated. Like, you don't have to have the wealth and success of, like, your favorite celebrity or anything. If you're being celebrated, you're a celebrity. So go out there and, like, do and be. And again, you don't have to do these things. But if you want to, you can. The opportunity is there. And that's where my music feeds in, too, that I make non-traditional music and a point to prove that, like, music is anything and everything. Like, if you want to make music, sit down and do it. Like, even if you think it sucks at first, you're going to suck at first. You got to take those baby steps and go. And you can literally and audibly see my career through music start. And, like, if you go online and you listen to all my albums, you can see how much I have developed and changed. And that's what I'm trying to showcase to anyone.
Yeah, especially since, like, you know, us living in the age of data and the age of the internet, like, anybody can access what draws them, like, what they want, what they are looking for.
Yeah.
You know, it's no longer where there's, you know, a million high-end gatekeepers you got to get through first. It's just...
Mm-hmm. And they're still out there, though.
Because, you know, you might make a type of music that somebody is just like, oh, this just sounds like just noise, or this is just nothing but a simple melody, right? And just doesn't attract them. But there's somebody out there that,
yeah,
if they find that, they'll be like, oh, this is my thing.
Yeah, and they can never find that if it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So create it. Like, make it right. exist.
But I agree, because some one of these things, there might be only one person out there that
yeah.
can do it and that can make that one thing. And but they might not be doing it,
yeah,
because they don't think they can or should.
Yeah, and the way society is formed these days is like they kind of breed that out of you. They're like, no, you can't do it. And it's like, I'm here to change that and be like, yes, you can. You absolutely can. Like, where there's a will, there's a way.
I love that. That's cool.
What was the last thing you created?
Ooh, I've probably just written a joke. I've been doing that. You know, I'm just crashing at a friend's place. He's at work most of the day. I'm just either going out trying to find food places I remember and getting lunch, and or just sitting around listening to music and writing. So the writing is what I've been creating this week.
Do you remember the last joke you wrote?
I wrote one. It is, do you want me to say it? I don't know if I feel comfortable.
If you want to present it, you can. You don't have to.
I'll give the premise is, the fact that I don't like the idea of food addiction being, like, the term.
Uh-huh.
Because I think it's, like, stolen, not valor, but stolen something of people that have, like, say, like, drug addictions and stuff. And, like, but where are the crossovers? So that's what I'm working on now, writing that bit.
I came up with a joke yesterday. I'm gonna run it on you.
Okay.
Let me find it. Because I don't want to mess it up. So life is like a box of Schrodinger's cat. It's in a constant state of superposition until its relative quantum state is observed and experienced by perceptive reality.
Okay. Go,
shh. Yeah, that's super smart humor.
Yeah, yeah, you're going for a learn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people understand Schrodinger's cat, but to put it in the, like, actual terms of relativity and the sociological concepts all at once, that's going to be hard to follow.
Yeah.
You're looking for that one person that says, yeah. Oh, that's my thing.
That's my thing. Yeah, that's what I want. Like, it's not for everyone, but it's that one person who's going to get it and they're going to love it.
Yeah.
What was the last time you killed a performance?
Killed? That's honestly pretty subjective.
Yeah, I agree.
Where I was just so happy with it that I'm telling myself, like, okay, you killed it.
Yeah.
Even if objectively in the room it wasn't like a kill, like standing ovations kind of thing, but in my head I felt like I figured a few things out while on stage. Last weekend I was at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, and just the set I had, because I felt free to just move things and change wording and stuff while I was up on stage in the moment, and so I was really happy with how well
it was.
It went.
Good free flow.
Yeah.
Those are the best moments, man.
Yeah.
What about the opposite?
Probably like a few weeks ago, I was working on some, like a newer bit, and then at an open mic for stand up. And, just from the, I even opened up with like usual material that I've used before, and like from the beginning it just ate shit. Just 5 minutes of me being like, nope, okay, next one, nope, okay, next one. And just like by the end it's like I realized, like, well, these last few probably failed because I'm just like, all right, here's my fucking,
yeah, it's
guys
like,
hate me, I'm
nope,
okay.
Here's the next one. Yeah, yeah, they feed that energy.
Yeah.
Audiences.
So that was an absolute like just bomb.
Those are fun, though. In hindsight, I think they're funnier than they are in the moment.
Yeah, I wish... I mean, I'm still so wrapped up in my head, I think, that I can't... they still affect me pretty good. Like, not like, oh, I'm going to cry on my way home or anything, but, like, just, like, a little tick up on the self-loathing. I'm not going to go and be like, that was... Like, I really enjoyed bombing. Like, I never have that feeling, but I wish I did. Like, I think of, like...
I think that's life-changing to just... Yeah. Be in that love. And
to be fine with bombing is like such a hard thing to do, but if you can do it, you're the real deal.
Yeah.
Like, you should be doing this, you know? Like, the story that I always think of with that I wish to be is Norm Macdonald. There's stories of, like, when he would do, like, the club circuit and stuff, if he killed, he would immediately go into the green room and not come out and see a soul until the whole place is cleared out. But if he bombed, I mean, if he really bombed, he'd go stand out by the door and shake hands with every audience member that hated him with just the biggest smile on his face, because he knows that, like, he was just like, you know, look, I did my thing, so you hated me, now you get another 5 seconds with me.
Yeah. Man, Norm was such a different card, man.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch the special?
Yeah, I did. And I kind of missed, I don't even know which parts. I missed some parts of the people talking about on the little documentary at the end. But the special was really good, considering that it was just him talking into his computer.
Talking onto a screen, yeah. Nailed it. Like, and everyone was so worried about, at the time, doing stand-up online because there's no audience. And the audience really does make it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, he nailed it. And even on the jokes that, like, could have done so much better without with an audience, it was still good. And there were still definitely really funny moments. I love the joke about his obese friend being like, I was once 175. He's like, yeah, you were every weight until the 500 or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Such a classic joke.
Yeah, that's so good. And that's, like, his thing where he's just taking the... He fills in the gaps, and that's literally what he did in that joke. He's saying, like, yeah, you were every pound up to a 500 at some point, and for some reason we leave that out of the story.
Yeah.
And the way he tells jokes is, like, finding those spots that we forget to talk about inside of stories.
Yeah. It reminded me of the Mitch Hedberg joke of the... This is a photo of how I used to be, or whatever, or like...
Yeah, of when I was younger, but every photo is a photo.
Every photo is a photo.
Yeah. Or I used to do drugs. I still do, but I used to, too.
I used to, too.
And I think, honestly, the thing that hit me that was the funniest with the latest Norm special is that he did the thing where he distracted you for a long while. Like, he was telling a joke, and that brought him onto a tangent. And he did a very long 5 minute tangent with jokes or just a bit in general. And then he'd be like, wait, what was I talking about? He went back to the original joke. And then at the end, when he finally finished that joke, he was like, wait, what was I talking about? And he went back to the tangent and finished that joke. And it was like, that's brilliant.
Yeah,
like,
I completely agree.
He's like doing zigzags in his head and keeping up with it.
Because that is so difficult. Like, you really have to have stuff like that planned out, or if you don't, like, when you're doing that, like, with improv, it's genius. It's so genius to be able to go back to callbacks.
Callbacks are my favorite comedic device.
Yeah.
I've always loved it. Like, when any comedy TV show that, like, leans heavy on callbacks... That's my, like, I love those shows so much.
They hit so heavy because, again, like you were saying, it's like you get distracted, you forget about it, and then they just call it back and it hits so hard because you're just like, that's right! That's what we were talking about!
And I also, continuity is something that gets stuck in my head. I think it's my, like, ADHD or something that does that, but, like, you know, if I'm watching something and I'm like, oh, well, the cigarette was this long in the last cut, and then it was shorter in the second, and then they cut back and it's long again, but it's a chronological scene, and then I always pick that out. So, like, I feel rewarded when they do callbacks, because it's like, yeah, I was there for that, I remember that, and this is a perfect recalling of that thing.
You're totally right.
So, like, for me, it just rewards, I guess, my attention to something.
It's definitely a reward. It's that payout.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's it. I was going to ask, what was the last special you watched?
It was Norm Macdonald?
Norm Macdonald, yeah. Nate, thanks for being on. You got any plugs before we come out?
Check me out, Potswells, all one word, no hyphen, on Instagram, and see what I'll be doing around the country, and hopefully you can see me live someday.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for being on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is awesome.
And thank y'all for listening. Love you.